Hey, Happy Friday. This week, Honda got into the space race. Yes, that Honda. Then we got loads of updates about Samsung's upcoming wearables and also Samsung Health, plus also Samsung's foldables. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video is sponsored by Ground News. Okay, for my first story of the week, Honda is now somewhat randomly in the space race with the successful launch and landing of a reusable rocket. This was a test, and apparently their end goal is to reach suborbital spaceflight by 2029. Now, they have made some mild announcements back in 2021, but this still came as a pretty big surprise to me, and Honda R&D says that they successfully completed the first launch and landing tests now. The reusable launch vehicle that they built is 6.3 meters long and weighs 900 kilos. It reached an altitude of 271 meters at its test facility in northern Japan, and it landed only 37 centimeters away from its target after flying for just under a minute. If you're American and none of those numbers just now made sense, then the conversions should be on screen somewhere now. Anyway, the test successfully proved that Honda can launch and land a rocket, though 271 meters is obviously still much closer to the ground than actual space, and suborbital flights apparently by definition happen around an altitude of 100 kilometers. SpaceX flew a similarly sized reusable rocket called Grasshopper in 2012 and 2013, so I guess Honda is at about that level of development right now. That said, Honda does build stuff like the Honda Jet, which is its twin-engine light jet, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised about the rockets. Okay, for my second story of the week, we got big updates about Samsung's next-generation Galaxy Watches. First, we got leaks from Android Headlines and Evan Blass showing off the Galaxy Watch 8, 8 Classic, and the 8 Ultra. Apart from the Classic, there aren't any huge visual changes compared to the predecessor, but Evan Blass did said that Samsung will launch these at Unpacked on the 9th of July. And in exchange for a subscription, Samsung hinted at bringing new types of health features. To begin with, Samsung will launch a first-ever blood analysis feature on the new watches, which measures antioxidant levels, or carotenoids, with a special new sensor. Next, Samsung says that they'll measure a metric called a vascular load, which reflects the cumulative stress that your heart and vascular system are under. And then Samsung also promised more detailed sleep analysis tracking with suggestions, plus there's also going to be a new 12-minute run test to get watch owners to establish a baseline fitness level and to then give them a training plan along with AI coaching in real time, saying encouraging words, or even suggesting you to ease back a little. Will any of these work and be worth paying a subscription for? I honestly have my doubts. I mean, all the health features that they touted with the Galaxy Watch 7 were kind of underwhelming in my opinion, even though I otherwise really like this watch. So let's wait and see. Okay, and for my third story of the week, Android Headlines also showed off new and official looking renders for the next Flip and Fold, along with some extra details. The Flip looks more or less unchanged, except for a larger outer display, but the renders from the Fold look different and significantly thinner than the ones that we've seen from OnLeaks, plus they also have new colors, and the aspect ratio seems to be unchanged too. Android Headlines says that the inner display will be at 8.2 inches, saying that Samsung will have the largest screen on a foldable. And meanwhile, also gone seems to be the under-display camera, and we get a normal punch hole instead, while on the rear we do apparently get a huge 200 megapixel sensor, as expected. As a user of a Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 5, I'm happy about basically all of these changes. It looks like Samsung has generally learned all of its lessons in all places except for perhaps one. The Fold 7 will apparently not have a silicon carbon battery, and a Samsung US executive called Blake Geiser basically dismissed the technology in an interview with Tom's Guide. He dismissed the tech as being basically early, which is funny because all the Chinese brands have had them for multiple years now, some of them up to, I think, three by now, so I'm not exactly sure about that. Anyway, moving on from Samsung to our release monitor, Garmin's new Index sleep monitor offers a way to do sleep tracking by wearing it on your upper arm without having to have a watch on. The device should have a full week's of battery life and costs $170, which is not cheap, but I guess also not terrible. Then next, the Vivo X Fold 5 was half announced with some big innovations. It is lighter than its predecessor, but still has a 6,000 mAh battery. Take that, Samsung. Then Vivo also showed off some fairly ambitious multitasking concepts. Plus, the company also claims that the phone will somehow support Apple Watches, including notification sync and all, plus even deep connections to other Apple products like AirPods, the Mac, etc. I don't understand how Apple wouldn't immediately shut some of those things down, especially with the Apple Watch, for example, but let's see how this goes. And last in our release monitor is the Nissan Leaf, which finally got a long overdue makeover. It was officially launched now after many teasers. It can now hit over 300 miles of estimated range. In North America, it has a Tesla charging port. Everywhere in the world, it has native Android software and more. I guess better late than never. And moving on to a brief, Roland Quandt has more details on the upcoming Fairphone 6, which I think actually looks kinda good now. There's a modular back cover which hides a larger 4,415 mAh battery that can still be easily swapped. There's a mysterious yellow button on the side, which I hope is not for AI, and the leaked specs look pretty good too. An upper mid-range Snapdragon 7S Gen 3 paired with a 120Hz OLED screen and the price tag of €549 make this look like, hopefully, the most attractive Fairphone so far. I actually hope to get my hands on this phone for a video, and I'm cautiously optimistic so far. Meanwhile, on the exact opposite spectrum is the newly announced Trump Mobile T1. It was announced this week with an obviously photoshopped image, a $499 price tag, and a big claim to be proudly made in the USA. I very much doubt that, unless being made in the US means they're importing the phone in two halves and somebody just clicks them into place or something like that, but let's wait and see. The spec sheet when it was first announced said dumb things like having a 5,000 mAh camera, but they now fixed most of the obvious problems, although they still haven't said what processor the phone uses, for example. If someone made a comedic movie about a president in a banana republic doing some stupid stunt like this, people would call the movie unrealistic, but I guess here we are. Oh, and for good measure, Trump also launched Trump Mobile with the 47 plan as an MVNO, or a virtual phone network, so people can also get a phone plan with Trump's name on it. Why not? Okay, and as a palate cleanser, let's move on to less insane news, with NFC getting a range boost, and the tech is gonna go from 5mm to 2cm. For Americans, that's like this far-ish, which should make things like aligning your phone while you're trying to pay significantly easier. Next, Adobe launched a new camera app called Adobe Indigo, which aims to offer a more natural look and full manual controls while still adding some computational photography magic for great image quality. It's actually built by the guys who made the Pixel and Google Camera app, so this might actually be really good, but sadly it's only on iOS for now. And moving on, Microsoft launched a new video where they announced a strategic multi-year partnership with AMD. The details they released were very confusingly worded, but they basically confirmed that there will be a next-generation Xbox console, and that that will happen in collaboration with AMD, while they're also working on other form factors like probably handhelds. Then next, in slightly dystopian news, Waymo wants to bring its robo-taxis to New York City, but first it now needs to collect mapping data in the city using good old human manual drivers. I guess this is how most self-driving companies work, but imagine being the person whose job is literally to automate themselves out of a job. Kind of depressing. And also depressing is that Intel has laid off more than 10,000 of its workers from its Intel Foundry, which is 1/5 of their employees affected. That is a massive cut, and it seems like Pat Gelsinger's plan to double down on its foundry business is not working out as planned. Then, moving on, Netflix will now start showing traditional broadcast channels next summer, starting in France. So French people can turn their TV on, open the Netflix app, and inside the Netflix app, stream regular TV. Linear TV. We've gone full circle. Okay, and a small correction for an episode from a week or two ago when we said that Denmark was supposed to drop Windows in exchange for Linux and also Microsoft Office for LibreOffice. That is not exactly right. It turns out Denmark has only confirmed their move from Microsoft Office to LibreOffice, while the move from Windows to Linux was not confirmed and there were some mistakes in the reporting. Okay, and moving on to space news, a satellite coated in ultra-dark Vanta Black paint will launch into space next year to help mitigate light pollution that blocks clear views of the night sky, which is kind of awesome. And less awesome is that the SpaceX Starship has exploded again, this time on the ground, with Ship 36 experiencing a major anomaly Wednesday night, just ahead of a planned static fire test in Texas. The program has produced many violent fireballs in a row now, but this one was particularly spectacular. Now, this is the kind of story where the reporting style of media outlets can heavily influence how you actually perceive what happened, which is exactly why Ground News is such a valuable resource. Ground News is a website and an app that aggregates thousands of sources, like in this case, over 100 sites covering our SpaceX story, and they add a lot of really useful context. This includes bias distributions, which categorize outlets by their political leanings. It includes factuality ratings based on 3 independent news monitoring organizations. And it also includes direct ownership data so you can see who is actually behind a given headline. So the Daily Express here, for example, highlights the insane moment and that it exploded into flames. And, well, they're a publication with a mixed factuality rating that leans right and is owned by a media conglomerate called Reach PLC. Meanwhile, Der Spiegel here, which is a left-leaning publication with very high factuality from Germany, simply reports that the Starship explodes during ground tests in Texas. A bit less bombastic. At a time where seemingly everyone is trying to get you to buy into their version of the story, I think it's really important to see all of the narratives and to make your own informed decisions, and Ground News is really important for that. Ground News even has a dedicated blind spot section that shows you news stories that were mostly covered by only one side of the political spectrum. And best of all, I'm also currently offering my viewers 40% off the Ground News Unlimited Vantage plan subscription, which is what I use to access all of their amazing features. This is their best discount, so go to ground.news/FridayCheckout, click on the link in the video description, or use the QR code on screen right now to subscribe for less than $5 a month. Get smarter about the news, and I'll see you next Friday.